Parenting in normal times can be challenging. There's not one right way to go about being a mom or a dad, yet we can still find ways to feel like we're doing it wrong. Insecurities about parenting are a normal part of the experience, but the pandemic has made those smaller insecurities feel much more magnified in the last year. And our next guest says that's been especially true for moms. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a parent, how has the pandemic changed the way you feel about being a mom or a dad? Has it made you worry or feel guilty more? Moms out there, do you feel like you've really taken the brunt of all of this in one way or another? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Jennifer Senior is an op-ed columnist at the New York Times. She's the author of the book All Joy and No Fun, The Paradox of Modern Parenthood. Her most recent column is titled Mothers All Over Are Losing It. Jennifer, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, nice to be back here. How are you?
Well, good. Now, what does the data that we have over this last year tell us about parental well-being right now?
It isn't good. I don't think that you actually even need data for that. I think this is one of the rare times where, like, your lived, perceived experience is probably going to be borne out in data. Although, there's one caveat I would add to that, which is right now, mothers definitely are feeling like they are doing a lot more childcare than fathers are while working. They report about twice as much. And it will be interesting to see whether time use diary data actually says that when that finally comes in, because, of course, our perceptions of how much we do and what actually, in fact, we do can sometimes not quite track. But we know that women are losing, have lost their jobs at a much faster rate than men. Four times as many women lost their jobs in September as men. I think it was nearly a million women. It was 865,000 or something like that. Women dropped out of the workforce in September alone. I mean, the numbers are really devastating. So it would stand to reason that a lot of them have more childcare responsibilities generally during COVID. Women have been losing their jobs more. But also, while they've been working, they are also, they seem to be doing more childcare, than their husbands. And you know, parental affect is just, it ain't good, right? Moods among parents right now, they're reporting more anxiety, more depression, more insomnia. Studies are pretty consistent on that.
Let's look back pre-pandemic a little bit, because you share some interesting data that shows that moms can have a tendency toward what you call a self-recrimination. Surveys where moms were asked to rate how they were doing, where they were falling short or saw themselves falling short as parents versus what their kids thought about them. What kind of things do we know even before the pandemic?
Right. Okay. So this stuff really, I plump like a sponge when I talk about this. I get very excited because you are referring to the work of Ellen Galinsky, who is the president of the Work and Family Institute. And she had this very inspired idea, I think in 1999. She interviewed over 1,000 kids, a representative national sample, to ask them to grade their parents on how they were doing. And what she was interested in was this, you know, this refrain that working women have in their head, right? This soundtrack that we have, self-recrimination, which is, oh my God, I don't spend enough time with my kid. I don't see them enough. They must miss me terribly. She was looking at 8 to 18-year-olds, and only 10% of them reported really missing their mothers. Like 90% of them said that they saw their mothers plenty. Where we scored lowest was self-regulation. We yell a lot. That was where our rock bottom lowest score was for losing it. Like, this is pre-pandemic. This was in, you know, 1999. We were bad. We just, you know, and so for all mothers who think that they're terrible because they're constantly snapping at their children or really yelling at their kids, it turns out it's a very, very common thing.
And now here we are in the pandemic. And again, as you write, families are stuck in the house together a lot more. There's, are you doing your virtual schooling now instead of just what happened at school today? There's a lot more reasons to snap and yell. What do we know about if that has been a bigger problem even than before?
Right. So, you know, this is the sort of thing that, like, I don't think that there are any granular studies that are yet doing right. this. You can only go anecdotally. What I think is so interesting is that the reports are, like, coming from everywhere that mothers and tempers seems to be, like, just this theme, to the point that our own kind of parenting columnist opened up a line for parents to scream into the telephone, like mothers specifically, to yowl. And hundreds of moms, like, phoned in just to vent and howl. I hear about it all the time just because of the books that I wrote. I mean, people are constantly reaching out to me and saying, is this normal? I'm dangling at the end of my tether. There are stores of anger, gushers of fury I didn't even know were there that my kids are tapping into. So this is hitting us where we live. We already were really bad at self-regulation. And now we're just uncorking, it seems, with even more abandon. And it plays into two other things while we're at it. Mothers already scored very low among adolescent children for, like, not having a clue about what their kids are up to. So now our kids are, like, locked in their rooms talking to their friends because this is the only way to socialize, or they're remote schooling because this is the way that they go to school. So we really don't know what's going on in their lives. It's yet another way that we feel totally out of it. And also, parents get low marks for not starting family traditions, for sort of not having the wherewithal, because why would we? We're, like, fried. We have 9 things going on at once. And so now every parent I know, it's kind of a high luxury item, but it's something that parents are beating themselves up about nonetheless, which is that they haven't made use of this time, right? Like, Oh, I've had this uninterrupted stretch of time with my children and I'm not making it meaningful. I'm not making it count. We're not doing anything. We're just watching reruns of Parks and Rec, which, by the way, I think is okay. That's what I do, but you know, like, what's wrong with that? But, you know, apparently this is yet another occasion to beat yourself up.
Yeah. I don't know. Can we have some kind of, like, mass blessing or something to give the grace of some
Absolutely.
Slack? Like, this is tough times and it's okay.
Totally. If I could, like, you know, do some kind of mass absolution for everyone, I totally would. I mean, and also, I think there are several things to say about this. First of all, no one is holding up well, right? I mean, very few parents, everyone, like, in fact, I had an open Facebook thread going about this, and there would be a couple of parents who would weigh in and say, I think I'm really, like, you know, doing great. And then I would get all of these messages from people privately saying, who are these freaks? And are they reading the room? Like, honestly, really? They think they're killing it? So, I mean, and if you do think you're killing it, that's wonderful. But I think that a lot of kids are going to emerge from COVID and share stories and be like, was your mom kind of also, like, losing it a lot? Like, we're going to discover fairly similar stories. The other thing I would say about this is that, you know, you don't have, like, the opportunity to grow if you don't have conflict in your life. And so to the extent that, like, we repair these moments, that, like, if we're in this cycle of kind of losing it and then healing and then losing it and then healing again. Okay, so your kids are watching us make the mistake and then watching us correct the mistake. That's not the worst thing that can happen.
We're talking to Jennifer Senior. She wrote the piece, Mothers All Over Are Losing It, for the New York Times. She's author of the book, All Joy and No Fun, The Paradox of Modern Parenthood. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a parent, what has your experience been like as a parent during the pandemic? Do you feel pressure? Do you feel guilt? Moms in particular love to hear from you. Our guest says moms in particular taking the brunt of a lot of this. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Could you use a phone line where you could just call and scream a little bit? This one's probably not it, but tell us about that feeling. 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Jennifer Senior, author of the book All Joy and No Fun, The Paradox of Modern Parenthood, talking about her piece for the New York Times called Mothers All Over Are Losing It, looking at parenting during the pandemic. You could join in at 800-642-123 to share your experiences, maybe feelings of guilt or accomplishment along the way, maybe a little of both. 800-642-1234. Let's go to a caller now. Doug is with us in Lancaster. Doug, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have been a stay-at-home dad for about 15 years now, And I have really, truly enjoyed it. But since last March, when the pandemic started, it has become exponentially more difficult. I'm actually calling for my second day on my new job because I needed to get out and get out of the rut that I've been in for the last now. Parenting my kids has always been great, but having to do the virtual schooling, and then for two of my children, we actually did a homeschool curriculum without the school, has just been more stress than I could handle. And it's been a game changer. If anybody's doing this full time, you know, good luck. And, you know, if you don't have any support from the schools, good luck even more. I truly admire teachers more than I ever did before since all this began. But I think my kids have also noticed my stress levels increasing and whatnot as well. I hope the change in routine will alleviate some of that.
Doug, thank you so much for sharing that story. Doug, Jennifer is not alone with that added stress of virtual and or homeschooling, kind of putting those stress levels over the top.
Oh, my God. I mean, I'm in awe that he tried, and I know that a lot of parents have been doing these kind of hacks and workarounds. First of all, that's a line in my column. He probably doesn't even know it, but that this exactly, parents everywhere are now appreciating teachers more than they ever did, because, like, now we know, in case there was ever any doubt, this is an incredible skill to be able to hold a child's attention and to teach them and to, you know, have them absorb what you're trying to, you know, say. This, anyone who thinks that they can just go and do this is kidding themselves. It's years of experience that make a good teacher a good teacher. The other thing to say about all this is that this is, I think, one of the problems that, you know, COVID has sort of turned us into. We're now 20th century parents, where we feel like we have to be cultivating our children and be present. And we're 1950s parents, where we're cooking and we're doing the laundry, right? We're doing all these things that we used to, like, get takeout. I mean, now there's more takeout because the world is opening up slightly. But, you know, all these things, you know, we're living very hard in our houses. So there's that. And in some cases, we're going back to, like, frontier parenting, where we're also schooling our children. So we're like, we're doing everything practically except growing our own food. You know, it's like we've become this kind of this tiny outpost of production. And it's impossible if you've also got a job. It's impossible even if you don't have a job. It's a lot to do. It's a lot.
Doug, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Now, Jennifer, this is an individual problem for Doug and for a lot of families, so many families around the country. At what level, though, should we be thinking about this as a collective problem, something that maybe somewhere higher up we could have done more so it wasn't such an individual scramble for so many parents?
Well, yes, you are now singing my tune. I mean, first of all, there are many ways. The nuclear family was never supposed to assume this burden, right? This was never the way that nature probably intended it. We lived in larger groupings. Whole groups of people took care of kids at once. Obviously, schools play a huge role in, you know, the essentials of not just, you know, in instruction. But I think that more to the point, but also for aftercare and things like that, I mean, we have no child care system in the United States that's in any way rational or affordable or accessible and much less, you know, or universal. This is something that I have believed my whole life the government ought to, you know, provide, as well as paid maternity and paternity leave, and it doesn't. And we might for the first time have a serious conversation about what a real child care system would look like, a subsidized child care system would look like. I mean, because this is the United States, it might come from companies. I don't think that's ideal. I think it should be government subsidized ultimately. I think that's the only way for everybody to participate and to make use of it. But, you know, there's got to be something. There's got to be something. It's untenable.
We're talking to Jennifer Senior, author of All Joy and No Fun, The Paradox of Modern Parenthood, looking at parenting during the pandemic. Back to your calls now. Laura is with us in Madison. Laura, hi.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
Well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I do work out of my house part-time, but I'm home with my kids. I have three teenagers, and it's been really rough. We've managed the last year pretty well, But there's been something about these last few weeks for me that's been really brutal. And I think it's just that I'm looking down the barrel of a year of this. You know, we're coming up on the year anniversary of the pandemic, and we are just in survival mode. I feel like I'm just trying to hang on there.
Well, good luck. More power to you, Laura. And you are not alone in that. Jennifer, I remember last March thinking, wow, this is going to be a rough few weeks. And here we are a year later, and yes, there's this cumulative impact.
I think, first of all, I'm totally with her. I think, and three kids and three teenagers, oh my God, I don't even want to think about it. But here's what I would also say. I think people are losing it not only because it's the one-year milestone, but because we finally have hope. So we're finally allowing ourselves to feel all of the things that we were very aggressively repressing. And, the second people feel hope, it becomes, people become very enervated. You know, there's this kind of wild energy that starts to happen. I think it's for this reason that there are more suicides in the spring. You know, the second people feel any stirrings of optimism, it's actually a cause also for tremendous anxiety about what if your hopes are not fulfilled, and great impatience. There's just, it's a very, uncomfortable kind of tension that almost arises from hope.
And briefly, Jennifer, as we wrap up, I don't know, do you have thoughts on maintaining a more hopeful mindset as we hopefully get closer to that happier time?
Well, you know, what's funny is that I think that we are going to suddenly find ourselves in a world transformed almost in a way that it's not going to be like a flip of a switch, but I think one day we're going to look up and things will be like appreciably better, and we'll be able to compare experiences, and we will realize really that we were not outliers. We were not freaks. We were going through some version of what our neighbors were going through, and our dearest and our nearest, you know, I really believe that. And there'll be solace and solidarity in that.
It's a good place to leave it. Jennifer, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Jennifer Senior, columnist for the New York Times, author of the book All Joy and No Fun, The Paradox of Modern Parenthood. She'll be moving on to become a staff writer at The Atlantic next. We've been talking about her piece, Mothers All Over Are Losing It. We have a link at WPR.org/Central Time.